I am Cherry Lane Genoway, calling to order the December 16th special meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded. And if we could ask, I'll ask Tish Leone to lead us in the pledge. Do that, Tish?
Yep. So we'll wait for the flag to be posted. There we go. Okay, everybody. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, thank you, Tim. Could you please take roll?
Okay. Tony Alabato.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Busick, here. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez. Nope. Tish Leone.
Well, Jean is here. I don't think.
Oh, yeah. There's his name, right?
Where's Jean?
Where'd he go?
Maybe I'm here.
Okay. All right. John Pointer.
Yeah.
And Dave Tetzloff. Dave, you're on mute. Dave, you're on mute.
I'm getting there.
Okay. Here. All right. And Gene, what about you? I think he walked away for a while.
Yeah, I just sent him a message to see if.
Okay.
And we have visiting us today, Larry Crane.
Yeah. Hi, Larry. Hello.
Chair of the Legislative Committee. And Erica Danzek.
Hi, Erica.
Director.
Hi, good morning.
And Carissa is keeping us all on track.
Yeah, Carissa is wonderful.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we do have a quorum. And now it's time for public comments. At this time, members of the public may address regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to. Carissa, do we have any requests to speak or comments from the public?
We don't. We didn't receive any.
Okay, so public communications is now closed. And we will go on to item number 5, the Office on Aging updates. Erica.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. I love your tree in the background, Elaine. It puts me right in the spirit. So Office on Aging has been very busy with COVID response to aging programs. December is a very critical month for us because all of the CARES Act funding that we receive from the county to allocate toward nutrition programs must be spent by December 30th. So we are in a mad rush to make sure that all of the accounting is, you know, finalized and that all of the meals have been distributed. And if there's any new clients trying to sign on to the program, the deadline will probably be December 23rd, and that's just so that the food providers have a good, accurate count of how much food and meals to order for the final week of each of the programs. There are some specialty pop-up distributions happening next week for holiday meals to be given out to the community. Supervisor Wagner, as you know, last month did a couple of distributions in his district for Thanksgiving, and he's doing the same in the city of Tustin on December 22nd for Christmas dinners. And the plan is to provide 2,000 individual holiday meals for residents experiencing food insecurity as a result of COVID-19 in District 3. Of course, there's not going to be any verification. There's not going to be, you know, any kind of intake or checking driver's licenses or things like that. It is open to the community. and it will be a drive-through distribution. So all of our staff and volunteers are going to be wearing masks, and we'll do a contactless delivery by placing meals in the driver's trunks. So that's happening from 10 to 1 at Columbus Tustin Park on December 22nd. I don't know if any of you had a chance to catch the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. One exciting announcement is that the new SCAC bylaws were approved. Hooray. So congratulations to Elaine and all of you that provided input on really rewriting those SCAC bylaws. I want to say they were an update and they were on the agenda as an update. But as I was explaining to the board, it really was a rewrite because it had been so long since the last SCAC update, and there were so many things that no longer applied or were no longer relevant. Plus, it had to be reformatted to be consistent with other boards and commissions in the county. So it really was a big job, and it was a mad rush to get it on the agenda for December 15th approval. And the reason why that was so important is because we really want to start off the new year, and we don't know what the makeup of the SCAC executive board is going to look like after January elections. And so we really wanted to have a bow on the new SCAC bylaws and a reflection of all the work that this leadership committee has done. So congratulations to all of you, and those were approved. The other thing that was approved yesterday,
Erica,
yes.
Was there any discussion with them about the changes? Just curious.
Them meaning the Board of Supervisors?
Yes.
The key changes were really about the makeup of the council. So the chair having those two additional seats being now moved to SCAC appointees, they were very appreciative of that change. As you know, the chair has been
struggling.
No, they were very appreciative, and it really followed good logic as to why we, you know, put forth that recommendation. And so they really liked that. And then just, you know, the cleanup of the positions, the treasurer position being removed, you know, that was something that was necessary, and just real accountability for the absences. There was some question as to why we made the decision to go with the fourth absence. And I explained that was a very thoughtful discussion among the council members, and, you know, just considering the population of who serves on SCAC, be it, you know, mostly older adults and they have doctor's appointments or health issues or are retired and want to enjoy travel, that on that fourth, you know, we thought that was fair. And so they understood that and supported that as well. Those were just a couple of the questions that came through.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and sure. Thank you both to Erica and Carissa for all your work on that too. I mean, I know we'd get together and have a working meeting and go through it line by line. So it was a lot, you did a heavy lift on it. So thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Our pleasure. The other thing that was approved yesterday that impacts seniors at the board meeting is that the continuation of a local emergency due to COVID-19 was extended. It'll extend until the middle of January and then continue to be extended in 30-day increments, depending on the need. And with CARES Act funding expiring on December 30th, the board allocated county general fund to continue supporting or extending critical services, nutrition being one of them for seniors. So we're not really sure what that's going to look like. Yesterday's decision was just to allocate the funding. We heard that there's going to be $10 million in funding for small business grants. That could include restaurants. And I believe it's going to be divided equally among five districts, so $2 million per supervisorial district. And then there's going to be an additional $1 million for nutrition as a standalone. we are ready at the Office on Aging to implement whatever the board has in mind, be it extending their nutrition gap programs, modifying them to fit a new budget, whatever their vision is. We're not sure what those details are just yet. I'm watching my emails closely because I'm sure that direction's going to come through today. But the Office on Aging will take the lead in implementing or extending any new nutrition services with this new funding. So I will keep you posted. I know we won't meet again until January, but if there's anything critical, I will send Elaine an email so that she can share with all of you so that you're current, especially with what's going on in your cities. Okay.
Thank you. How do you happen to know if there are any waiting lists for any of the nutrition programs?
There were some waiting lists for just the general Title III home delivered meals or Meals on Wheels. As you know, there's some eligibility criteria around that. So not every senior is eligible, but for those that were eligible, they were put on a wait list. And that was really because they wanted to assess what the landscape was going to look like after Great Plates ended and really prioritize those that had a critical need. So now that they've been able to assess that, all of the clients that were on the wait list are now enrolled into the program and receiving Meals on Wheels. And that was the only program that had a wait list. Everything else is available for immediate service. The senior centers are poised to receive the increase in seniors coming for the grab-and-go meals. They've been stocked with additional meals. And they are serving increased numbers since the Great Plates program has ended. But there's no wait. You know, you can go to your local senior center and get as many meals as you need for the week.
Okay, great. Yeah, there shouldn't be a wait list, but please be sure to let us know if one should happen so that we can do what we need to do.
Yeah. Elizabeth? I will.
How much did you say was allocated for nutrition?
$1 million. And that should take us until mid-January till we see if there's any other state or federal funding that's going to be approved.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Thank you for that report. A lot still going on as other, if you're in the corporate world, things are winding down now because we're getting into the latter half of December, but not for the county and especially not during COVID. Serving seniors.
So nope.
For not slowing down and keeping up the pace. And I think it's increasing now, especially with what we see happening with COVID and wanting to that our seniors are protected. Does anyone have any questions for Erica before we move on? And okay, seeing none. And the status of the bylaw revision, I think Erica covered that already. So I don't think we have any additional questions on that. And the reason we're having the meeting because part of that bylaw revision is that the standing committee chairs are appointed by the SCAC chair. And what we want, there's going to be a change in the chairmanships of all of the standing committees because we couldn't talk some people into staying on as chair, but to kind of give them an opportunity to then get ready for January and to have some overlap with the outgoing chair and you know, to work together. So to recognize their official new role. So that's the reason why we're having today. So I know we have at least two chairs and hopefully Gene Hernandez has good news for me.
Gene does not. I finally just got back with her this morning. I can pretty much tell it was very much right now. She's trying to find a job and needs to get full employment. So she initially thought, well, how much work? And then realized that, you know, I don't want to quit midway, even though you, Elaine, suggested that, hey, just get us started. Now, when you got to pull teeth that hard, it's not going to happen, Elaine. So I think, and she said, no, she took a pass on it.
And so, what the standing committee that Gina is referring to is housing and transportation. And Ellen Inman has done an outstanding job of chairing that standing committee. But as you know, she was elected to a school board. And there's, you know, we'll have only a certain amount of bandwidth as far as time. And Carolyn did put a lot of time and energy into that. So, right, new chair to appoint. So I guess technically Carolyn is still the chair until January. But if any of the executive board recommendations or a chair for that standing committee, and the difficulty or the challenge we have is if the standing committee cannot be a member of the executive board, and the standing committee chairs have to be a member of SCAC. So as you know, many of the there are members who are not SCAC members, but to be the chair, you have to be a member of SCAC. So those of you who have served on the transportation standing committee, I don't know if you have any recommendations or suggestions from other members. That we did at our last meeting is for the health and nutrition standing committee. There was a member, Meredith Chalemi, who was very interested, and we're going to be appointing her chair, but was not a member of SCAC, but then we had an opening and we were able to appoint her as a SCAC member. So now she can be chair. Elizabeth.
Well, there's Sandy Stang. She's been on the Housing and Transportation Committee since almost day one. Yes. And she's wanted to be a member of SCAC. I mean, you might try her.
Okay.
That name came up, and didn't we, wasn't there an issue or somebody, she didn't want it or some, there was something there. Okay. That's not the first time we've heard Sandy's name.
That is true. And it was I who said, well, I had asked her to do something like take the minutes. Oh no, she couldn't do that. Okay. And so it's made me think, but if we're sort of hard pressed, I think she could do the job well.
Well, yeah, what
I don't think she's ever missed a meeting either.
Exactly.
There.
Okay. What the chair needs to do, and either they do it, and when he's chair of legislative committee, he's done it and has done a great job at it, is to provide that monthly report. So the chair needs to do that, or if they have someone they can delegate it to on the committee, but it needs to get done. So that's really now with the minutes reported, they don't have to take the minutes, but they do need to do that monthly report. So are there any other recommendations besides, and I don't know Sandy Stang, well, I'll be happy to have a conversation with her.
Good.
But if there's any other recommendations.
He's the only one on that group that could do it and meet the qualifications. So there is no one else in that pool. So the only other thing we'd do is make an appeal to the general SCAC if anyone would like to step in, which is really unfair. They don't have the history of the background, but.
Right. Yeah, and they don't, and it's funny, not funny, but it's the bylaws say that we can move people to different standing committees if that's the need of SCAC, but it's like, what's the purpose of that? We're all volunteers. I wouldn't consider doing that because why tell someone, no, you can't serve in your area of interest, you have to serve over here. So do you know Sandy or Elizabeth, do you know Sandy? If you want to have a conversation, or I'd be happy to call with you or.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, if you can talk to her or I'll be happy to call, if you don't know her.
But I think you definitely want to talk with her, but yes. I think you'll be impressed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you mentioned that would be a position on the general SCAC too, because she did want that.
That's true. Okay. For a long time.
Yeah. Maybe Elizabeth, you could do an email introduction with Elaine and Sandy, and then Elaine could take it from there with a phone call.
Yeah, maybe let her know that I'll be calling her. Good. And Carissa, if you could forward me her contact information.
Yes.
Okay, we will work on that. But right now we do have two other standing committee chairs to appoint. And again, the bylaws say the chair appoints this, but I'd like to get the board's concurrence on this. And one is for housing and nutrition. And you know, we've had some is with that standing committee over the past year. And but Meredith Chalemi, she works as a professional in the senior arena. And she actually came to me. So I like that, because when it comes to me or any of us wanting a position, that's much better than us having to twist arms and pull teeth. So Meredith, and again, we appointed her to at our last meeting to assume this chairmanship. So I would like to, is there a motion to Chalemi?
I'll make the motion to accept Chalemi.
I accept. Okay. Moved by Jean to accept Meredith Chalemi as the appointment to the chair for the Health and Nutrition Standing Committee. Second by Busick. And any discussion? In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Good. So Meredith is that new chair. And then the other chair that we have to appoint is someone to, it'll be hard to fill Larry Kramer's shoes, but Evelyn Velez Rosario. She is a member of SCAC and has been serving on the legislative committee for several months now. And she became a member of SCAC. She had tried before, but was not appointed, but during the most recent meeting of the city selection committee, she was appointed. So, do you have any comments, since this has been your committee? Do you have anything you'd like to offer or say?
You're muted, Larry.
You're muted.
I was clicking on the wrong spot.
Okay.
No, I asked, you know, for volunteers at the last meeting, and she volunteered. She indicated she didn't know as much about SCAC as I thought she did. And so we spent a lot of time just talking about what the purpose was of SCAC and what the purpose was of the committee in particular. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting in terms of, I mean, one of our jobs that we've been doing for a long time is to feeding back to our local community centers and so forth. And she, for some reason, didn't even know about that, which I thought was a fairly critical item that, you know, even if we don't accomplish anything in legislation, at least we can take the information back to our local cities and so forth. So it was fun to talk to her. And I think it's, you know, I've enjoyed being on here for 2 years. I think Tony enjoyed the previous 2 years. It's just nice to get some new blood into it to sort of shake things up and to see where we can go. Mm-hmm. And, I think she's a very intelligent person. I think she'll do well. And I'll be around on the committee. And Tony, I hope, Tony, you're going to be on the committee still, right?
Yes. Oh, I'm staying on.
So we'll be there to sort of help. We're not cutting her free. In fact, that's one of the things that she thought I was trying to cut and run as fast as possible. And I said, no, I'm still going to be there. And once I told her that, she said, okay, fine. Be glad to do it.
Good. Well, greatly appreciate helping to train her and transition her, and anything that you can provide to her, Tony, to help her in this role.
Yeah, it's been fun the last couple of years. I just wish we hadn't been shut down and, you know, as we have been. But I think it's going to be a good couple of years coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like the direction you've had us going, Elaine. I think that we all feel like we've got more direction and more purpose than we ever had before, which is really great. And the support of Erica and Carissa and the Board of Supervisors, in particular Lisa Bartlett, has been really superb. I feel like we're getting some directions, like they really want us to do something, and pretty excited. So that's my comments.
Thank you. Yes. And it's, you know, we exist for a reason. So let's use that and do what we're supposed to do. And, you know, we do have some influence with the Board of Supervisors and providing that voice to seniors. So we need to be sure to be using that. Larry, you did, one of the weak links in SCAC is the connection with the senior centers. and all of the SCAC members have seen a senior center or a couple of senior centers that they're assigned to. And it's that, so in San Clemente or San Juan Capistrano, it's really dependent on that SCAC member, the connection they're making. And I know realistically that there are some who are not fulfilling that liaison function. So that's something that I hope we can boost up next year, because that really is important. We are connecting with all of the senior centers and that everyone realize their responsibility in that role. So thank you for bringing that up. So do we have a motion to accept Evelyn Velez-Rosario as the appoint?
I move we accept Evelyn Velez as the chair of the LEDGE committee.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Tish. I'm sorry, Dave, I saw her hand go up.
That's fine.
You're going to third it, okay? Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Unanimously. Well, thank you both, or all. Thank you all. And thank you to the both of the new standing committee chairs. We will still work on housing and transportation. We will make that connection. Hopefully, we'll have good news for you. And the next item on the agenda is the 2021 SCAC calendar. Any action, but I did ask Carissa to send it out to you so you can take a look at it. Please note there are some dates that are changed on there from our normal because of county holidays. Jean, make note of one of them that's changed is the February meeting, the full SCAC meeting, because February 12th, I guess, there is a county holiday for Lincoln's birthday.
I have that down, Elaine. That's February the 19th, 9:30. It's going to be Jack Garate, G-A-R-A-T-E, from OC Transportation. He is the manager of the Community Transportation Services, and he'll give us an update on senior transportation status coming up this next year.
Okay. I had him speak this last year. He was very good. And wasn't that his first job or something like that?
It is, and he's still there, so he's doing something right.
Okay, good. Okay. So, yeah, and that's what we have to remember is Lincoln's birthday, because most of us in our work life just celebrate President's Day. We don't get days. So, but the county also gets Lincoln's birthday, and then we also have the two January dates changed for legislative committee. Housing and transportation, the November date is changed due to Veterans Day, because Veterans Day fell on there. But I just wanted to be sure you all had this and took notice of the change of dates.
And Elaine, did you say we did get that calendar, that new calendar?
Yes, it was emailed to you a few days ago when Carissa sent out the meeting notice.
Carissa, could I trouble you for another one sent, please, to me? Yeah, thank you. No, my computer, I never update, because you update and then nothing ever works. That's what took me so long to get on now. So. Yeah,
maybe that's why you should update.
Well, I update religiously, but then all of a sudden things go haywire for a minute. I mean, it'll be okay, but it took a while to catch up.
Yeah, no, I don't like it when mine is going through updates, because it'll just freeze my screen and then I can't do anything. And
that's what it did. I couldn't get it. I could pull up my email, but it wouldn't show me any email. So yeah. Okay, this is not good, which is why, Carissa, thank you for sending that.
I need to shut down the computer and walk away for a few hours.
Yeah. How about a few days?
sounds like it's time to get a new computer.
Yeah. No, it's fairly new. It's a year old, and it's got a lot of stuff on it. No, I got rid of that Commodore 64 some time ago, Tish, but thank you.
Okay, let's move on the agenda. Announcements. So this is to say whatever you'd like to say, if you have something to bring to SCAC's attention or something to tell us about or something you want us to look at working on in the next cave.
Yeah, I've got just going back with the committees and the appointments of the chair. What about the vice chair? Is the chairperson going to develop a vice chair to help that individual out, or is that an appointment by the SCAC chair?
The vice chair would come either from the chair of the committee or the committee itself if they want to elect, or if the chair wants to.
Okay.
And that procedure is not outlined in our bylaws.
That's what I was wondering, right?
We'll leave that to the committee. Our role is to make sure that there is a chair, and then the chair, basically the vice chair is to step in. The chair is not there. And how they work together is for the two of them to determine sometimes. And hopefully, you know, you use the vice chair position as a kind of a way to get ready to assume the chairmanship in the future. At least that's my philosophy. So anything else, any other announcements, anything that we should be looking at for the next year? Everyone looks like they want to go get their second cup of coffee.
Well, Elaine, I do have something to say that, you know, the one thing about this pandemic that had me really concerned is just the lack of technology that many of the seniors still, you know, are suffering with, and that some cities just really haven't stepped up to helping and doing things for the older population. And it's just really concerning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I've done everything I possibly can to get, you know, my council on board, and screaming and yelling and kicking, and it's still, they've done a little bit more than they were, but it's just really disheartening. And I don't know if there's something.
I can tell you, Tish, in our city, we have a very computer literate senior group.
Yeah.
And we offer training at our community center for that. We have an outreach. Generally, if a senior isn't communicating with us, it's because of an illness or physical issue, not for a lack of knowledge. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that. We recognize that early, that that could be their only link to communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it is something that, you know, that's something I think that is done at the city level. And if we know that there are certain cities that are addressing it in the same fashion others are, maybe that liaison to that city or that SCAC member who is from that city could address it. But I know in our city, Laguna Niguel, we've had for years, we've had tech tutors. This is aside from the sponsor technology classes at the senior center. We pay for them, but then also we have tech tutors, which are the high school students. But now because of COVID and can't get together, there's been a lot of tech training that we're doing by phone. So the seniors talk on the phone. So it's a little more getting it through and walking them through it. So I also want to point out that the libraries have Wi-Fi on wheels.
Yes.
It's basically a van with the big Wi-Fi antenna to a library parking lot. And it was initiated the need because of the need of the school children.
Cool.
Seniors can use it too. So you can go to a library, and that's all throughout the county. It's more in certain areas of the county where the homes or apartments may not have the Wi-Fi access. But now the library has hotspots that you can check out from the library. So if someone is having they don't have connectivity in their, they can check out a hotspot for 3 weeks and use that.
You know, Elaine, the other thing I have found is that because of COVID, a lot of the family members have reached out to their senior parents to show them how to do it so they can communicate via Zoom or face-to-face when you call on your phone. And so that they, out of necessity, learned how to do that.
Yeah.
I know Santa Ana, the schools have really been working together, and they also have the vans, you know, the Wi-Fi vans going around the city, and the city library also has the checking out of the hotspots. And they actually just started a laptop checkout with your library card. But it still, it seems like so many seniors still don't have the equipment. You know, the Wi-Fi is out there, but they don't have the equipment. But there are some, and I guess we're fortunate that some local nonprofits are reaching out, and Santa Ana College is doing Zoom classes. But it just seems, I don't know, I just feel like there should be, there needs to be more. And yeah. I don't know, it just seems like there should be more done.
Well, and especially when we realize, I mean, how much communication is done via technology.
Yeah.
And, but I think this is, it's a problem that is specific to certain locations or certain cities. You know, it may be where they need to either the city council provide some funding for, you know, pads or laptops or whatever, so that the seniors have connectivity. This was, you know, one of the goals of our tech survey, is it that you don't know how to use it or you don't have the equipment. And this is something that OC SPA will continue to work on. Unfortunately, the pandemic happened before that work was done.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a move afoot to make the whole city Wi-Fi, put it on utility poles and stuff? I remember participating in some discussion on that in our city, so that the whole city would be connected, literally.
I know Santa Ana has been, I think it's the school district that has really been pushing it, and we have fortunately, we have a lot of really young city council members now that are, I guess they're millennials, and they're all really techie, and they're really pushing the city to get more techie into everything. So hopefully this year that might happen in our city.
Yeah,
that was one of the, we talked about that, but the problem was you can only put so many things on those light poles, and before it comes a problem with weight, so and aesthetics. So there were some issues, but I know they're still working on that.
Yeah.
But also tech is great, but you also have to make sure that the end user has the device that they need.
And that's the issue.
Technology, and that's what Tish is talking about. So that may be something, and I don't know, Erica, if you know through the Office on Aging, if there are grants available or any way to get that equipment.
And also, you know, there's like the grand pad, because I work with a senior who has a grand pad, and every
subscription that has to continue to be.
And that's my thing, you know, it's a cost to get the device, and then it's a monthly, because it's through consumer cellular, not that phone company, but anyway, so it's a monthly fee, which fortunately her daughter pays it, but not everyone has that capability.
Yeah, and you can get a simple device and not have to have that subscription, and just if you learn how to access, you know, certain things. But I don't.
My point with bringing that up was to maybe somehow we can work with them or work with another provider to help with the cost of the device. You know,
well, that's what the question I'm asking Erica, if she's aware of any grants.
Not yet, but it is definitely on the state's radar. They are looking at a statewide program for seniors and technology, particularly because isolation is such a big issue. But I was even talking with our executive management and seeing if we get some sort of discretionary funding, if we could do like a loaner program and just purchase tablets at the Office on Aging that seniors or caregivers or even senior centers could check out on behalf of seniors. But there is another component to that, and that is the one-on-one training, troubleshooting, who do they call when they have questions. You know, we can provide the technology, but we really need to come up with a curriculum, a train the trainer type model, so that we have lay people out in the community that can really commit to mentoring seniors that are just now getting exposed and comfortable with their proficiency. So I think it's a two-legged race.
Like an issue this sounds like an issue. Why aren't we going to AT&T and asking them, like other utilities that have senior rates, do you provide a senior rate on for cellular service? You know, they're for profit. I can't believe they can't work out something with that.
Also, Erica, have you ever had any discussion with the library, OCPL, on collaborating with the equipment and checking things? Maybe there's some synergy to be gained with the Office on Aging purchasing, and I know the library purchases laptops too. If you purchases, maybe there's some, you know, pricing advantages or training advantages to that.
And Erica, and I think this is a good opportunity to dip into the high schools and maybe interim college, you know, like college to earn their volunteer points to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. We do that in our city. It's called Tech Tutors, and we have a graduation ceremony for the high school students. Kind of they get certificates, and it's really, I love seeing that end of year celebration, because you see the senior and the student. I mean, developed a friendship.
Yes, that's an awesome program.
Yeah,
it's a senior, right?
Intergenerational
adopt
program.
A senior. Mm-hmm. Adopt a senior to teach them technology. Mm-hmm. Get a cute little slogan. I love that idea.
Yeah, well, I love that idea too. And I love the synergy with the libraries, because they already have a robust checkout system in place. They've even used the grab and go method that we're using at the senior center with the meals. They're calling their checkout a grab and go too. So uh-huh. You can go on and order your books and they'll have it ready for you, and you can just drive through.
Yeah.
But is that a mobility issue for seniors? Hmm? Is that a mobility issue for seniors to even get there to get it?
For some, yes.
Yeah, or you could maybe a neighbor pick it up for you. I don't think they don't have the bandwidth delivering books, but they do.
Well, maybe these volunteers could.
But I use that all the time. You reserve your books online, and then when you get to the library, they bring it out to the table.
I've done that.
So I think we're getting a little too far off our agenda, but this gives us some good direction for next year. I know discussion items we had at our previous meeting two meetings ago maybe was whether or not it was time to stand up the ad hoc tech committee again. You know, we would wait, but it's looking like maybe this is going a little bit different direction, but that's something we would want to consider in the beginning of the year. Gives us some good direction as for maybe some of the items we will be addressing. So is there anything else that you want us to think about? I don't think so. Okay. Any final comments before I adjourn the meeting?
Have a Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Holidays.
Yep.
Merry Christmas. Happy
Hanukkah.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay
and
safe. Stay healthy. We want to see all of you healthy again.
Get your vaccines as soon as you can.
Yes, I know. I am. There are 283,000 people ahead of me in Orange.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah, but that's good, because we can see how they fare. See, if they survive, we're good to go. They're the guinea pigs.
Yeah, no, yeah. Right. The website, you go in and you put all your things, and there's like 23 million ahead of me in the country. So
yeah, I'm not worried about it.
I work from home and wait. So.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, everybody, stay safe. Thank you all for all the work you've been doing this year. Greatly appreciated. So enjoy holidays, enjoy your time off, and I'll see you in January.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.